Blog Talk Radio.
Makes no difference what you're going through. You're gonna make it. God's gonna see you through. Hold your head up. Put a smile on your face. This is another test. Here for me.
Got a blessing with your name on it. You got to be able to see that. You got to be able to understand that all you really have to do is believe it. All you got to do is just really believe that God has a blessing. He has a blessing for you. If you'll receive it. See, that's the problem with most of us. You don't count yourself worthy.
Sacrifice
He thought he was famous. And if you believe that Hezekiah Walker say, give him praise. Everybody should give him praise. Doesn't matter where you at. You ought to be praising God right now. Then the 150th Psalm said, let everything that has breath praise you the Lord. Hallelujah.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put their hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Hallelujah to our God. Every praise belongs to him. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God. God is saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We truly happy to have each and every one of you all. We're going to take a moment and for those that don't know, on Friday, Pastor Bell wasn't feeling her 100%, and but she's better now, and that's probably all I need to really be said, that she's good now. The Lord healed her. She had a moment, and the enemy attacked her, but hey, she's good now. So in our prayer, we're just going to be thankful, okay? Because we've been praying. I'm sure there's other praying. And if you believe that he is a healer, well, I want you all to join in and agree with me in prayer. Eternal Father, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. The word says, in everything, give thanks. For this is your will concerning Christ Jesus. So we thank you, Heavenly Father. Yes, we do. We thank you, first of all, for your word, because it's in your word, Father God, that we learn that we, who the word say we are, it's in the word, Father God, that we learn whose we are. So we come with thanksgiving in our hearts, Father God. I mean, it's just so many places to thank you. I thank you, first of all, for sending your word. Because in your word, Father God, it tells us that we have this right to the tree of life. It's in your word, Father God, in Philippians 4 and 13 that says that we can do all things through Christ. That I just believe that. I believe, Father God, that because the great one lives in us, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. So I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, for your word says that let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So I thank you, Father God. I thank you for those words that I just read the other day, that we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for a good work. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that those that have been reconciled to you and have become a minister of reconciliation, I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, for righteousness and holiness. It belongs to us. I decree and declare that we walk by the Spirit and not by flesh. We are the light of the world, according to Matthew 5:14. You made us the light of the world, so we thank you for it. We thank you, Father God, that we are content in whatsoever state we're in. Hallelujah. We have that security according to Philippians 4:11. So I thank you for it. I thank you for being our protector. You are our protector. You got angels watching over us according to Psalms 91:14-36. Or 14-16, I'm sorry. I thank you, Father God, for Psalm 91. I just praise you for it. Now, Heavenly Father, I ask you to continue to bless and heal Pastor Bill. We thank you for her. We thank you for healing her. We're just asking you, Father God, to let others that see her miraculous healing, that they too will join the ranks of those that by his stripes I'm healed. I thank you, Father God, that you're strengthening Pastor Vale in every area of her life. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that your word has become her medicine. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, that because of your word, Father God, she will get physical healing, miracles. Healing are not the past, but it is the present. Some say out of their thinking and teaching, because God's word says, I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and I know that you are a healer. And I thank you for it. And according to John 14:12, your word says, a promise. So now is a promise. And we thank you for it. We believe it by faith. Even as faith, as small as a grain of mustard seed, Father God, we could speak to yonder mountain and tell it to get out of our way. So we confess healing over Pastor Bell life, and we continue to believe your word is above all things. Sickness, disease, body, it doesn't matter. Your word, you sent your word, Father God, to heal us. Just not spiritually, but mentally, physically, even socially, even intellectually. You sent your word to heal the body. And so we thank you for it. Because I know that Psalms 107:20 said you carry the pains and sickness. So if you carried it, we don't need to carry it. Now, I want to thank you for those that will listen and that will hear word today. In Christ's name, I pray. And everybody agreed with this prayer, said amen and amen. Thank you so much. Our foundational scripture is found in the book of Colossians, the second chapter. I want to say we read
from the 8th verse to the 16th verse. We're going to read to the 17th verse. That's better. So we're going to read. Now, how much of this we're going to unpack today, I'm not sure. But from the 8th verse through the 17th verse. So for those that are reading along with us, Colossians 8 through 16, 17. I'm sorry, excuse me. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of man and after the remnants of the world and not after Christ. For in him, let me pull my computer up here, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power. In him also ye are complete, which is the head of all principalities and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sin of the flesh by circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also are raised with him through faith of the operation of God, who have raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. And look, praise God, my computer going to work just fine. Uncircumcision of your flesh, he have quickened it together with him, having forgiven all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Hallelujah. And having spoiled principalities, power, he made a show of them openly and triumphant over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holiday or of the new moon or the Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ. Hallelujah. And I want to begin by saying that the subject this week, and we had a couple different variations of the subject, but the main subject this week was seven ways men can spoil Christianity. And I'm not going to say we went off script, but we went the way God wanted us to go. And in that, we talked about philosophy. But before we talk about that, let's talk about what spoil is. You know, because he said that's something to, first of all, he warned us by telling us to beware. And I'm going to be honest with you, brothers and sisters. You have to pay attention to the warnings. I don't care what the warning sign can be on an appliance. and it tells you don't plug it up if your hands is wet or whatever. You shouldn't do that. Tells you don't plug it up standing in water. Now, I know some people say, well, you, yeah, a person should know that. Well, a lot of things we should know, but we need to be warned of it. You know, everything is not as easy as feel sciences. Beware. That gets our attention real quick. When we see a sign that beware a dog, and we're walking by something, we constantly looking. Well, that's the way it should be with the Word of God. We should be that adamant about it. We should be that concerned that we're looking everywhere, paying attention. So when he warns us by saying, beware, there's any man, doesn't matter, I'm going to say this again, doesn't matter what man it is, because people, they put certain men on a pedestal for whatever, not whatever reason. You know, they got this thing now, if you got enough light or enough, that makes you big time. You know, you got 2 million followers. That means that big time in the world. And that's what he's telling us to do. Not be part of that group. Depending on that philosophy, on that teaching, on that precept. Because that's really what philosophy is. It's a precept, and it's like a doctrine, even with the gospel. You have some that are teaching all kinds of doctrine. And the Bible is warning us of that. Don't pay attention to that. And I'm just going to be real straight with you all. Because I said this the other day. And I think it's worth saying again. Don't cheat yourself out of what's yours. Why you want to do that? Why you going to let philosophy cheat you out of what's yours? If the Word of God says you free, you free. The Word of God said you've been forgiven. Then you've been forgiven. Ain't no ifs, ands, buts about it. A lot of times people, they want to have their own take on the Word of God. Brother, sister, it's line on line, precept on precept. But if the Word of God decree and declare in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Also in 1 Corinthians 2:16, is that we have the mind of Christ. Now, people will teach you differently that, oh, that can't be. No, you can't have the mind of Christ. They forget that Ephesians 2:19 is a reality. We are fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. That's who we are. Matthew 5:13 declare that we have a light. So we should let it shine. Need I say that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And God want to dwell. That's where he want to dwell at. In us. So, but man was spoil you through their philosophy. And, you know, a philosophy really, it's like an ideologic. It's a base for believers to guide the principles or whatever that group is, like your church organization. You know, that's their philosophy, that you go in a Baptist church, their philosophy is that you got to be baptized with water. Well, that's their philosophy. You go into a Methodist church, their philosophy is, hey,
You got to do things decent and in order, and there's a way to do it. In a holiness church, they have a doctrine, which is no more than a philosophy, that you got to have evidence of speaking in tongues. Not in an unknown tongue. Because they don't accept your tongue. They want you in an unknown tongue. That makes you part of their philosophy. And that has to become your testimony. As far as they're concerned, that's your testimony. But listen, brothers and sisters, this stuff ain't hard. All you got to do is do what the Word of God says. But here's the problem. Most folks don't want to study. The Bible says in Second Timothy 2:15, to study, to show yourself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it's important. I can't tell you how important it is that you go beyond just the word at noon, but get in your Bible. Get in your word so you'll know what is the hope of the calling that God has on your life. But any man spoil you through their philosophy. I'm going to say, but the Bible says through philosophy and conjunction and vain deceit. That's one of the worst kind of deceit you can have. It's vain deceit. I mean, think about that, if you will, for a moment. Vain deceit. Most of us know what deceit is. Now, kind of add vain to that deceit, huh? Because once you understand that vain is actually, a lot of people are caught up in vain. Because pride, they got worthless ideals. Their ideals are worthless. They have no real value. They have no real truth. And then when they hear truth, they can't receive it. Yeah, when they hear truth, they can't receive it. What do you think about that? The Word of God says you are the very righteousness of God. But their philosophy and their teaching want you to always be a sinner. You can never be right in the eyes of man because that's of their teaching or their philosophy. And what it ends up being is deceit. That's what it ends up being. Deceit is, and I know you guys know this, really deceit is the act of causing someone to accept something as a truth that's not a truth. And you got so many false teachers out here and preachers, the act of practicing deceiving or deception. I always like to think of deceit as a trick. You're a trick. Because they come up with stuff to trick you. All kinds of little gadgets. I was the other day, somebody was talking about sower seed. Now they sent me a pamphlet, and I'm thinking this pamphlet is about the Word of God. They want me to sow a seed. Sow a seed. Are you serious? But see, their seed is different than the Word of God. The Word of God seed is the Word. And you go to Mark and you'll see it. But they won't preach that. They won't preach, go forth and sow the seed, which is the Word of God. No, they want money.
I'll tell you straight up what's going on. They want money. It's just a deceit. It's tricking you. Deceitfulness. That's what deceit is. It's just deceitfulness, being misled. And I know some of you guys got to agree with me on this one now. A lot of folks are being misled. And at some point in time, you and I was being misled through vain deceit. And I just love the act. It said vain deceit. So when you put vain and deceit together, it's like it's worthless. Matter of fact, it's just a foolish idea. It's selfish. It's vain. It's empty. It's pointless. And we need to be careful with that as well. Moving on, he says, philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of man. And we talked about tradition a little bit this past week. Because there's so many traditions that that's why the body of Christ is like it is now. People, they want to practice their tradition over the word of God. And according to the scripture, they make the word of God of non-effect. Yeah, we read that. Remember we read that the other day? That's what happens when you put everything above the word of God or any kind of tradition, as far as that goes, you make the word of non-effect. We didn't get into but what we did get into, I think it was in the book of Mark. I'm trying to find it here. It was in the book of Mark. Tradition. Let me go back and find this tradition that I think it was in the book of Mark. Y'all bear along with me here for a minute. Let me go get there right quick. It's in the book of Mark. I was just trying to go with what we actually had went with this week rather than adding something new. But in Mark 7, then came unto him the Pharisees and a certain scribe, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread and feel that it said to say with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. So Jesus put a check on them because they wanted to question him over there in John 15. We talked about that. John 15, I think verse 2, 3, 6. So we're going to read those verses. He says, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands with their eat bread. And he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Their tradition caused them to transgress against God's word. they would rather keep man's tradition. But anyway, Jesus goes on to tell them, and honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of non-effect by your tradition. And that's what's going on, brothers and sisters. A lot of people take tradition above the word of God. Like, we should be teaching people to get in the word and let the word get in them. That should be our teaching. Allowing the Holy Ghost to teach them. But man don't do that. See, his tradition keep him from doing that. Because can you imagine if everybody just tell everybody, say, hey, we're going to pray that the Holy Ghost come over you and teach you this stuff. They may not come back to that building no more. Strong possibility. But, so that was one of the things that we talked about this week. And we talk about the remnants of the world and not of Christ. After the tradition of man, after the remnants of the world, we're doing everything man saying to do and nothing God saying to do. The remnants of the world is just what it says. And when you understand what this word remnants really means, it's pretty much telling us the things of the world, everything associated with the world. That's why the vain deceit is there, because that's all the world offer is a vain deceit. If I ain't learning nothing, I'm learning that. All of it is all to deceive us. And these principles that they have. And somebody say, well, maybe the elementary, it doesn't matter, brothers and sisters. It's these fundamental skills that they show people, and people get to thinking it's okay. And it's not the word of God. They teaching themselves remnants. They teaching themselves what feel is right, rather than what the word of God says is right. I'm reminded of a little short story, and I'm going to move on. But, it's like something undeveloped. So they take, like, young Christians that's undeveloped, and they tell them anything. Just like, oh, you ought to sow a seed. And then they make them think it's right. That's a remnant of the world. Like, for instance, they say, well, we need to pay. Now, you don't ask the money for, I don't know, missionary. We'll give the money to the missionary. But the way they think and the way they do is, okay, we got to pay the lights, so we're going to take the money from the missionary and pay the light. And then they would tell us that they are doing what's right. And that's not right, brothers and sisters. Because if you're sowing or you giving to a particular ministry or you giving for a particular cause, that's what it should go toward. And I get it. If you light and you got gas running, you're going to pay your gas. I get all of that. But see, that's just the trick of the enemy. Just the trick of the enemy. What's wrong with going to tell the light company, look here, I don't have the money for the light bill today. And you're going to keep your word and say, but I promise you, as soon as I get it, you guys will have it. And they'll put you on some kind of payment plan. What's wrong with telling the truth? The truth is what makes you free.
It's so hard for people to just tell the truth, man. See, you get off into lies. You have to tell one lie and you tell another lie. And it's just some mountains of lies. And you can't see any truth in that. Because you're too busy thinking about the next lie you got to tell. See, if it's the truth, you don't even have to go there. It's not even necessary. They make us take all kind of oaths, pledges, if you will. That's what they do to young Christians. And it's the remnants of the world. And it began to choke the word of God out of people. See? So that's what happens. And then he says, when you think about just basic fundamentals, basic foundation, laws, doctrine that the world have displayed, all of those are just tricks, man. All of those are just avenues for you to go down and be tricked. But the Bible says these are the ways that men can spoil is through that. And then through religion, human religion. And I wrote something here, human religion and world principles. Human religion and world principle is contrary to the word of God. Because they don't have to live by it. Matthew 4:4 don't mean anything to them. They're not required to live by it. But we are required to live by it. And I challenge anybody to make that decision, a conscience decision, that you're going to live by the word of God. That way you won't get deceived. Let everything be predicated on the word of God, and you won't get deceived. Because that's one of the things that deceive a Christian is a religion. And I want to say human religion, world principles, is contrary to the word of God. So when I read that 8th verse, that's what I see. And then down there in the 23rd verse, I think that's what that was. That was the 23rd verse. We're still talking about Colossians 2. And we're going down here to the 23rd verse, which reads like this. Which things have indeed a show wisdom, and in the workshop humanity and rejoicing of the body, not an hour to the satisfaction of the soul. So what we're doing is all for God. It's all to give him glory. I was trying to find this here scripture. But anyway, anybody have any comments? Just press 1. Hallelujah. Sometimes I feel like everybody waiting on me. And it shouldn't be. This should be all of our review. Anyway, well, let's continue to keep Pastor Bell lifted up, and we'll see you all on tomorrow for the word at noon.